Good afternoon, and welcome to our second live streaming from HBAC. Do you still remember what the word woman means? I run the risk of having to sleep in the living room tonight, but that's right. Woman means woe to man. But the title of our message today is not woe to man. The title of our message is Woe to Rulers, Priests, and Prophets. Let us begin with our text for this afternoon, which is taken from Micah chapter 2, verse 1 to chapter 3, verse 12. And let us read these responsively. I shall begin. Micah chapter 2, verse 1. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields, and take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which ye shall not remove your necks. Neither shall ye go haughtily, for this time is evil. In that day shall one take up a parable against you, and lament with a doleful lamentation, and say, we be utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our fields. Therefore, thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. Prophesy ye not, say they to them that prophesy, they shall not prophesy to them, and they shall not take shame. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my works do good to him that walketh uprightly? Even of late, my people is risen up as an enemy. Ye pull off the robe of the garment from them that pass by securely, as men averse from war. The women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses, from their children have ye taken away my glory forever. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gates and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? Who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them, and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people, and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones, and chop them in pieces, as for the pot, and as flesh within the cauldron. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they behave themselves ill in their doings. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth, and cry, peace, and he that putteth not in their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore, night shall be unto you, and ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, and ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They built up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Together, therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. Let us pray. Most gracious God, Lord of our life, we long to do your will and to be part of your plan, but we confess the waywardness and rebellion of our corrupt nature. Oftentimes we are strayed from your will and grieved your Holy Spirit. For the good that we would, we do not, but the evil which we would not, that we do. Merciful Father, deliver us from self-will and to cleanse us from the sin of rebellion. Teach us your word today, O Lord, and daily lead us in the paths of righteousness and obedience. Hear this our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Last week, we saw Micah's person and prophecy. We also learned that Micah spoke of the approaching destruction of Israel and Judah. The Assyrians would demolish Samaria and overwhelm Judah. Jerusalem itself almost capitulated, but for the time being, the city survived. The highlight was Micah using a series of creative puns to share the prophecy of Assyria's invasion of Judah. Now, what else did Micah have to say? Roman numeral 1, Micah's warning to the evildoers. Micah's warning to the evildoers. The man on the scaffold was painting the building when he dropped his paintbrush. As he leaned over the rail to watch his brush fall, he yelled, "Quack, quack, gobble, gobble." Below, a man walking under the scaffold was hit by the brush. "Why didn't you warn me?" the man yelled at the painter. "I did," the painter replied. "I yelled, quack, quack, gobble, gobble." "What does that mean?" the man hollered angrily. "Duck, turkey, quack, quack, gobble, gobble." The painter warned the man walking under the scaffold. Similarly, Micah warned the evildoers. First of all, he gave a letter A warning to the people. Warning to the people. Micah chapter 2 verses 1 to 5 reads, "Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is the power of their hand. And they covet fields and take them by violence, and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which ye shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye go haughtily, for this time is evil. In that day shall one take up a parable against you, and lament with a doleful lamentation, and say, we be utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our fields. Therefore, thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lots in the congregation of the Lord." Micah pronounced a solemn warning of war to the people of Judah for their sins of covetousness and materialism. The fact that God detests covetousness and materialism is one of Micah's prominent themes in the first three chapters. At night, the people of Judah plotted evil, and at the crack of dawn, they busily carried out their schemes. Chapter 2, verse 1. They coveted fields, houses, and defrauded families by taking away their inheritance. Verse 2. For those who devised evil work, God had devised His own disaster. Verse 3. Judgment was inevitable, and the family of Judah would not be able to remove it from their necks. Not only did Micah give a warning to the people, he gave a letter B, warning to the prophets. Warning to the prophets. False prophets spoke only that which people wanted to hear, and they tried to prohibit true prophets from prophesying. Verse 6. Micah responded by reminding the house of Jacob that the Spirit of the Lord is not restricted by the optimistic speeches of the false prophets. Verse 7. After all, God's words, as spoken by the true prophets, do good to those who walk uprightly. The word straitened in verse 7 means restricted. The prophet's failure to warn the people and to call them to repentance robbed them of their only opportunity to avoid Assyrian oppression. Because of the false prophets, the Assyrians will cast mothers out of their homes and will take away their children. Verse 9. This verse reads, "The women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have ye taken away my glory forever." How does this judgment show the seriousness of covetousness and materialism? The punishment brought on Judah due to their covetousness shows that the sin is extremely serious and offensive to God. The false prophets preached a message of rest and safety that had made the people more comfortable in their sins and so destined them for utter destruction. Micah sarcastically chided the people for accepting the lying prophets, since they envisioned wine and strong drink for their future. Verses 10 to 11. Let us see. Promise of future restoration. Promise of future restoration. Last week, I mentioned that the first segment of the book is from chapter 1, verse 2 to chapter 2, verse 13. We are now at the end of the first segment. We see a glimmer of hope here. Micah chapter 2, verses 12 to 13 reads, "I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them." Micah predicted that God would one day reassemble the believing remnant of Israel on her land, and that God would shepherd His people. Verse 12. "Just as a shepherd opens a pen's gate, so the sheep might go out through it. The Lord will remove any barrier to millennial blessings for His people." Verse 13. The picture of God's people as sheep is appropriate in a chapter that begins with woes against their covetousness and materialism. Sheep are content when they are with their shepherd. One day, Israel will be reunited with her shepherd and enjoy complete contentedness and trust in God. So we have Micah's warning to the evildoers. Moving on, we have Roman numeral 2, Micah's message against the leaders. Micah's message against the leaders. A dog walks into the telegraph office and tells the clerk to send a telegram. He tells the clerk to send the following message. The telegraph clerk tells the dog, "There's no additional charge for two more words. Do you want to add a couple more R's?" The dog thought for a moment and answered, "Wouldn't that sound a bit redundant?" A friend of mine once sent me a postcard with a picture of the entire planet Earth taken from space. On the back it said, "Wish you were here." My friend wished I was in space with him. Just as the dog gave a message through telegram, and just as my friend gave me a message through a postcard, Micah gave the leaders a message. What did he say? First of all, he gave a message, letter A, against the rulers. Against the rulers. Micah chapter 3, verses 1 to 4 reads, "And I said, Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them, and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people, and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones, and chop them in pieces as for the pot, and as flesh within the cauldron? Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they behave themselves ill in their doings." How did the rulers fit into the shepherd and sheep illustration? The rulers were supposed to lead the people like a shepherd. Instead, they destroyed the people and abused them like ravenous animals devouring sheep. In contrast to Israel's future millennial king, who will care for his people like a shepherd, the leaders of Israel in Micah's day did not know judgment or justice. Chapter 3, verse 1. Instead, they hated good and loved evil. Chapter 3, verse 2. Contrast this with Psalm 97, verse 10, and Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Micah likened their injustices to a ravenous animal's devouring sheep. Because of the maltreatment, God would not deliver the leaders from their deportation. Chapter 3, verse 4. Not only did Micah give a message against the rulers, he gave a message, letter B, against the prophets. Against the prophets. This is in Micah chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. Micah chapter 3, verse 5 reads, "Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth, and cry, Peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him." What was the accusation of the prophets? They led the people astray while telling them all was well. Rather than lead the people to safety like caring shepherds, the false prophets led the people astray. Verse 5. People will come to the false prophets to hear a message from the Lord, and they will pay the false prophets an honorarium of food. While the false prophets ate their food, bite with their teeth, in verse 5. While the prophets ate their food, they will proclaim a false message of peace for those who fed them. Judgment will come upon the false prophets, and their prophetic insight will be darkened. Verse 6. The seers and divines will be ashamed and would even cover their lips in disgrace. Verse 7. Micah was full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. Verse 8. The princes did not know judgment or justice. Verse 1. The false prophets had no spiritual might. Verses 6 to 7. But Micah proclaimed both God's justice and His might. Finally, Micah gave a message, let us see, against rulers, priests, and prophets. Against rulers, priests, and prophets. This is in Micah chapter 3, verses 9 to 12. Empowered by God, Micah directly confronted the rulers of Israel and Judah because they abhorred justice, verse 9. They also perverted, that is, twisted all equity. In other words, that which was straight. They had perverted all equity. They twisted that which was straight. It is true that they had built up Jerusalem, but they had done it by violence. Verse 10. The rulers judged for reward. The priests taught for hire. And the prophets divined for money. Verse 11. The Babylonians would ruin Jerusalem, and the city would be plowed as a field. Verse 12. The heaps of ruins would remind everyone of Micah's accuracy. Even the mountain of the house, that is the temple mount, even the mountain of the house would become like any other hilltop in the forest. Micah's warning to the evildoers and Micah's message against the leaders. Israel and Judah will be destroyed because the leading citizens were covetous. Because the false prophets promised peace in exchange for their honorariums. And because the rulers perverted justice. God detests covetousness and materialism. Other signs of the sins of covetousness and materialism in your life. In Micah chapter 2 verse 12, Micah predicted that God would shepherd the believing remnant of Israel. One day, Israel will be reunited with a shepherd and enjoy complete contentedness and trust in God. In a sense, the Lord is our shepherd too. We as believers today can enjoy freedom from covetousness and materialism as we learn to trust our shepherd. When we rejoice in our shepherd, then we stop focusing our lives on getting more money and possessions. We then find contentment and true joy in life as we learn to give and love like our shepherd. Will you trust your shepherd? Will you? Let us pray.